We return to the story of Mary Gay, author of Life in Dixie During the War. She was one of the few women to document the American Civil War from the perspective of a civilian. Even though she wasn't in the military, Mary Gay still saw it as her duty to help the Confederate cause, as she writes in her book.
I too enlisted in the struggle, and in the glorious efforts to establish home rule and domestic felicity. Not literally in the ranks of the soldier, but in the great army of women who were willing to toil and to suffer and to die, if need be, for the cause of the South.
For the second part of our conversation, I asked local historian Anne Earle what we can learn about the author herself from her book and her house.
She's very resourceful and determined, and she wasn't the stereotypical Southern belle who's, oh my dear, I'm going to faint. Somehow you get that impression from Gone with the Wind, and Scarlett is this real spunky person. Well, Mary Gay was not as beautiful and glamorous and wealthy as Scarlett, but she was also a very determined, resourceful, idealistic person.
From her accounts, she was a gutsy woman.
Yes, she was.
even hiding materials.
Oh, the
in the
newspaper and that's the story I always tell the kids. Is if you want to go in the dining room,
oh, where
sure. She actually hid the uniform.
So this is just off of the parlor. So how does the dining room play into the story of smuggling items?
Smuggling the things in the spring of '64, she was visiting her brother, who was in the army, and they had winter uniforms that were made of wool, and it was getting too hot. They said, we don't know what to do with our winter uniforms, and she said, I'll take care of it. So she brought them home, and she thought, now I'm going to have to hide them. So you see how high these ceilings are? They're probably 12 feet high.
Easily.
Ceilings. So she gets the table. She had a high boy, climbs up on the table, climbs up on the high boy, gets a broomstick, knocks a hole in the ceiling, and puts the uniforms back there in the attic, where nobody could see them from the ground. Now in July, the Union Army came in and they took over her house for their headquarters for here in Decatur. And they're having meetings here in the dining room around the table, and those uniforms are right up over their heads. Well, time marches on, they won't leave. Gets to be September, it's gonna be cold again, and she thinks, I need to get those uniforms to my brother. At the same time, as I told you, there was a big problem with not getting any news. Mm-hmm. But the General Girard, who was staying here, was very kind to share the newspapers from the northern states with her so she could know what was going on in the war. Well, she saved those. So when she got her brilliant plan, she decided she was going to smuggle the uniforms and the newspapers to her brother and his friends in the Confederate Army. So she said, I have a sick relative. Could I send some blankets and sheets to him? And he said, yes. And she said, well, do you have any old gunny sacks that I could use to put them in?
Uh-huh.
And he said, yes, you can have some. So when they're not around, she pulls the drape, she climbs back up, she gets the uniforms, she puts them in the gunny sack, she sews them shut. And of course, these gunny sacks say U.S. Army on them. Then, to get the newspapers, you know, women in those days had voluminous skirts with several petticoats underneath. She sews the newspapers between the petticoats, and then she says, can I have a driver and a cart to take me to my sick relatives? And she gets that permission, and so this driver comes in, takes out those gunny sacks, and she comes rustling out with her petticoats full of newspapers, and she says, I'm sure that driver thought, what do Southern ladies wear under their dresses? But of course, he would never have asked.
Oh,
no gentleman would have asked. And she does succeed in getting these things to the Confederate forces.
As much gumption as she exhibited during the war, a lot of what makes Mary Gay and her life very impressive are what she did in the years following the war.
It is. She was just full of energy and ideas, and she was a woman who followed through with her beliefs. She was a Baptist, and there was no Baptist church in Decatur. So after the war, she said, we need a Baptist church. And the other people said, oh, nobody has any money. She said, well, I'm going to raise money, and she did. She raised $600, which was a lot of money back in those days when nobody had any, and they were able to build the First Baptist Church of Decatur. Another one of her crusades was she decided we needed in Decatur a Confederate memorial. And so it took a long time to raise money for that, but that still stands behind the old courthouse on the square. She was always active in the community, and if she saw a need, She went to fill it. And that was very unusual. One of the interesting things about Mary Gay was most of the women in those days were told, you know, you stayed home and you didn't get involved in public life. But she never married, so there was nobody to stop her. And because she never married, she could own her house. Married women couldn't own property.
So when we look at census records from the time, we'll see Mary Gay's name features very prominently as the head of the house.
Up until the 1910 census, you will see her as being the head of the house, yes.
Anne Earle, a local expert on Mary Gay and her house in Decatur, Georgia. If you'd like to check out Mary Gay's book or see photos of her Decatur home, you can head to wabe.org/citycafe. And while you're there, you can also learn about Mary Gay's literary encounter with Mark Twain. Thanks so much to Galen Crawley for reading the passages from Mary Gay's book, Life in Dixie During the War.